the NCAA tournament has gotten off to a tremendous start. But how about all the top teams seeming to put away their opponent convincingly? We saw lots of blowouts. But how does this relate to us putting away sin in our lives? Let's unpack it. Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack parallels, metaphors, and topics in sports that relate to life and faith. I'm Bryce Johnson in Charlotte, North Carolina, joined today by my guest co-host, Brian Goins, who is out in Phoenix today. We'll hear from him in just a moment. On today's episode, we are unpacking March Madness, the first weekend where we did see some upsets, but the teams remaining are the top teams. And so what were the takeaways from the weekend and how does it parallel our own lives? We will get into all of that today. Thanks to everybody watching on social media, Facebook, Twitter, also those listening to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and all the other different podcast platforms. And if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, make sure you do that. You can also email me, Bryce@unpackingit.com. Always love hearing from you. And be sure to check out our website, unpackingit.com. We are in the middle of our Unpacking It bracket challenge. And so we've got off to a great start in the first weekend. And so we're waiting to see the winner of that bracket. However, we have a new second chance Sweet 16 bracket challenge that you can join right now. So before the game start on Thursday, get into this second chance bracket challenge. You donate, support Unpacking It, and then you get to compete with other members of the Unpacking It community. And so be sure to check that out in the show notes or wherever you're watching or listening right now. And there is a link there for you. So Brian Goins is joining me today here on the Unpacking It podcast. And Brian has been a friend of mine since the beginning of Unpacking It. He was a board member and really helped me get this ministry started. We used to do a radio show together. So he is back today. But let me do a quick bio. Brian was a pastor for a long time. Now he works with Family Life. They have a new series that just came out. It's called The Art of Marriage. And you can find out more on familylife.com. Also, he's the author of Plain Hurt, A Guy's Strategy for a Winning Marriage. I have read that book. I recommend that book. Check that out. It's called Plain Hurt. Brian, it is great to have you on today. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. I feel like we're back. We're back like we used to be, back on the radio days. You like helped me fulfill a fantasy in life, like to be on the radio on a daily show. That was awesome. I didn't realize how much I'd enjoy it. So it was short lived, but I really had a great time. So you helped fulfill one of my bucket lists.
Absolutely. We were on right during March Madness too. So we had fun
that
year. I'm trying to think who won it that year, but that was a fun season of life for sure. And so today we are back together talking March Madness and you being out in Phoenix, you have an interesting connection to this year's tournament, huh?
I know. Yeah. So my son goes to GCU, Grand Canyon University, Lopes Up. And for about 3 minutes there, going into the last part of the Alabama game, it looked like the Lopes would end up playing my Tar Heels. You know, you and I kind of go back and forth. You have a terrible shade of blue that you cheer for. And Carolina was, I thought Carolina would play the Lopes. And if they did, being here in Phoenix right now, we're here all week for spring break, they're playing in LA. And so there's a part of us that was like, on Thursday, we might have just taken the 4-hour drive and gone to see Carolina play the Lopes, which that would have been amazing.
Gosh, man.
I don't know who I would have cheered for. I think I'd probably still be cheering for the Tar Heels, but it'd be awesome.
It's a deeper love. Well, so for me, my mom went to Valparaiso. Bryce Drew, of course, is the star of Valpo. So I've been a fan of his since he was a player. And so I've had him on the podcast. Love Bryce Drew. So I was pulling for Grand Canyon. I picked them to go to the Sweet 16.
Oh, and did you?
I did. I was all in. And they let me down. That was tough to watch.
They did.
because you know, they really blew it.
They did blow it because they went up. They went up with 3 minutes, and they just kept their composure. Once Alabama took the lead back, they started jacking up threes. And I see a lot of teams do this where it's like you don't need to get a three in that moment. No. And if you miss it, you really put the pressure on having to foul. And, of course, you know, it's like that's easy for us to say, right? It's like Bryce Drew knows a little bit more about basketball than I do. But still, they have some great athletes. And if you've never been to a Lopes game, honestly, I went to one this year. And it is, they created one of the best basketball experiences in their arena. So it feels a little bit more like your Dukies, like the Cameron, like kind of flavor to it.
Yeah.
Students stand the whole time cheering. They've got a wild like opening. It's since they don't have football, they all in on basketball. It's a great environment. Yeah.
Well, hopefully he's building that program and this won't be the last we see them in the tournament. Yeah. So they're out, but we saw some great teams over the weekend. And I think going into the tournament, what was on our mind from last year was all these upsets. And, you know, we saw the run of Florida Atlantic and San Diego State last year. And so this year I was like, well, are we going to see that again? Is this the new state of college basketball? And we end up seeing the opposite because all the top teams have survived the first weekend and, you know, looking it up, thinking, man, wait, 12 of the 16 teams were on the one through four line, having a seed 1 through 4. And then we're talking about the other teams. Gonzaga is a fifth seed. San Diego State is a fifth seed. And then NC State and Clemson. You know, these are ACC programs. So
how about the ACC representing a quarter of the Sweet 16 teams? That was pretty cool. That was awesome. Yeah, the one team that I picked going to the Final Four that got blown out was that Kentucky game, and I don't know why I picked Calipari. I'm not picking him anymore. He just cannot win past the first game usually.
It's been a tough stretch for him, and he's feeling the heat for sure. I had Auburn in the championship. I always love, I don't know, Bruce Pearl, the way he coaches. It's fun. and he let me down. I'm also a big Buzz Williams, Texas A&M guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I love watching him
play that game.
I did. And they had a chance.
You know, they had a chance. I mean, to tie it with what they were down with 13 with 2 minutes left or something like that. And that was an incredible comeback. And then to hit that three, I mean, that's what makes March Madness March, as we all know. But it seems like in the overtime, once people went to overtime, it was the favorite team that ended up winning, which that's not what I would expect. I would have thought that the momentum could have shifted for some of those higher seed teams.
That's exactly right. And also, I mean, the foul trouble was big in a lot of these the closer games that we did see. We only had one buzzer beater from the weekend, Colorado. That was a high scoring game. So my overall takeaway from the weekend was I saw a lot of great basketball, some fun players. I was pulling for Oakland. I wanted to see them do it again. But I've been impressed with NC State and their magical run going back to the ACC tournament.
Hey, can I talk about that for a second? Because it cuts to my heart deeply. But it was one of those times in my life where, you know, there's moments in sports where you feel like you are watching destiny, you know, where you feel like.
Uh-oh. State fans, they're everywhere. So they cut them off. The audio feed is down from Brian. Trying to rip on Wolfpack. It's amazing to see all the Wolfpack fans that have come out of the woodwork at church, you know, wherever I'm seeing people. It's like, oh, there's a State fan. They're wearing their gear proudly. And so they're not used to this type of run. It's been a while for them. So finish your thought there, Brian.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know where I left you, but just watching them win five games in 5 days to go up against Carolina. I just knew that they had a better story. And so it was one of those times where I just felt like, oh, well, we're gonna probably lose this game, not because we may not be the worst team, but just because we came up against a better story.
It often happens in sports. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you can feel it. You're right. You just kind of know.
And they hadn't won since '87, so it's like we'll give you one. That's fine. We'll be back. Yeah,
I think they've got it. They've got a shot to beat Marquette as well. So
they do.
I think that would,
they got a shot.
That would be fun.
So are you riding? Are you riding Duke to the end, or who do you think? Who do you think right now is gonna has the best chance of the 16 teams left? Since Auburn's out for you, who are you, or somebody that you're going? I think this team is gonna do it.
Well, I think it's obvious and clear that Purdue and UConn are the teams to beat. And now that Purdue escaped, you know, they kind of overcame their, you know, the issue from last year going out in the first round to a 16 seed. I think that was big for them mentally. And then we know that they're talented enough. They've been in the mix the entire season as a top team. And then, of course, UConn is the reigning champs. We know how dominant they are and how good they've been. So, to me, those two should be the favorites at this point. But we know the tournament's wide open and things happen. And I was very pleased with how well Duke played the other day. And so if something clicked and they finally go, all right, we've got this. Let's stop the inconsistency and let's just go through McCain as our star player. Let's stop trying to, let's not force it to Filipowski anymore. Let him sort of be more of a compliment. I think that might be the formula to them making a deep run. And so I do think it's possible. Which I didn't necessarily feel a week ago.
Yeah. Well, that's it could be exciting. You could have State and Duke, you know, going up against each other.
I'd like a little rematch there.
Has it ever happened where you've had four teams from the same conference get into a Final Four?
I can't imagine. No.
I know there was three in the Big East back in the 80s. I remember that when Villanova had their magical run.
Ah. Yeah,
but that was the last time I think you've had that many from one conference. I don't think it'll happen this year, but still kind of fun to think about.
I do remember a number of years ago when all number ones made it, and I do think that's possible. I think that this year we could definitely see that again. Probably unlikely someone will slip up, but those, you know, the top four teams have shown how great they are. And so let's talk about that today as we parallel this to our own life today. But I really want to go back to, you know, the games this weekend and some of the, you know, the teams that really convincingly put away their opponent. And in many ways, these were statement games, but you figure UConn, they put away Northwestern 75-58. Like I mentioned, Duke, they put away James Madison 93-55. Purdue put away Utah State 106-67. Illinois put away Duquesne 89-63. And then San Diego State put away Yale 85-57. And then, you know, we mentioned some of the overtime games. You know, the double overtime game was Creighton and Oregon. Well, Creighton still put away Oregon ultimately in double overtime. They still won by 13 points. So although it was close for a while, they still found a way to put Oregon away. And then Michigan State, Brian, your Tar Heels, they got off to a rough start. And then Hubert Davis in that timeout, he lit into them. And although that was a tough matchup for a while, the Tar Heels put away the Spartans and pulled out the 85-69 win. And so of those kind of blowouts, what team maybe was most impressive for you?
I mean, I think it's hard to not look at UConn and Purdue, like you said, those two were incredibly impressive. And Purdue, I'm glad because, you know, they getting knocked out last year. I'm just wondering if they're going to have another Virginia run where they just turn it. You know, it's like we went from getting knocked out in the 116 matchup. We're going to come back and win it all. I hope so. I picked them to win it just because I can't pick UConn. I can't stand them because of the
Same
Duke
thing.
Connection with Hurley. Yeah. So I got a hope for Purdue. I think they were seriously impressive. I think you look at Illinois, who I'd never watched, you know, during the year, but they could put together something pretty impressive. So we'll see.
I heard Mike Wilbon, he's picking Illinois. So I've kept my ears and eyes open for them. Just curious how that turns out. Cause that was either going to look bad for him or maybe he'll be a hero. So
that's right. Chicago connection. I can see that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So here's the point with these, you know, blowout wins and really showing that they can put away an opponent, because when a team gets the lead, the key is not letting their opponent hang around or not allowing them to catch up or get close. And we saw some of that too. We saw Nevada get up by 17 against Dayton and they goofed around. They lost focus, and they let Dayton come back and win that game. I ate dinner. I came back and saw that, wait, my bracket isn't correct. I had Nevada win. and I, Nevada lost? What are you talking about?
I know.
And so what happens, though, in some of these games, the flip side is if you're careless, if you get cocky, you get lackadaisical, now all of a sudden you let the opponent, you know, back in the game. Then they start to gain their own confidence. And that's how the comebacks happen. And so these teams that are set out to go win a championship, they have to keep the foot on the gas. They have to continue to distance themselves from the opponent and really have the mentality, we're destroying the opponent, right? It's not like we just want to win, whatever. No. We want to pile it on.
And you see it. You see it happen too, Bryson, in football with prevent defense. It's like all of a sudden these teams are up by a touchdown or maybe 10 points, and they feel like they can take the foot off the gas and go into prevent defense, and then you end up watching these teams come back and beat them. So I think it's a great metaphor that you're getting into, because it's one of those things we do in life so easily. You know, we should defeat the things that that plague us, and yet we often just play around with it.
That's it, because really the last thing that these teams wanted was to give the other team a chance to get back in the game. So you put a team away and you don't let them back in the game. And so, some of like we talked about Michigan, Carolina, you let Michigan State hang around a little bit, but then you got to say, oh, no, enough is enough. This is it. And Hubert Davis put his foot down and said, no, let's go. And they were able to, that was an impressive turnaround to finally, put them away. And so as we reflect on, really the number of teams that have blowout wins and put away the other team, the parallel for us as followers of Jesus is to put away sin in our lives and not let it linger, not let it hang around, and having the same mentality where we don't even want to give the enemy a chance to get back in the game, especially when it comes to, maybe sins that we used to struggle with. We got to put those away and not bring them, not let them have a comeback in our lives.
Man, Bryce, you that's so true. And you think about the momentum shift of when watching these games, and you can feel it. I felt it with the State Carolina game in the ACC championship, where it was like once State got the momentum, you just felt like we weren't going to win. And I think that I feel the same thing with sin. Even though sin, the Bible talks about how the power of Christ is within you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is within you. That power has defeated sin once. In fact, it crushed sin. It crushed the head of Satan. So we know it's more powerful. We know Christ is more powerful than sin. And yet when we let the momentum come back into our life, whether that's with anger that we just can't seem to put away, whether that's with lust or pornography, that we know that we have the power to put those things away. And when we let the momentum come back, and we've all had that feeling where it's like, I know the path I'm going down. I don't want to go down this path, but I go anyway. And we let that power eclipse the power that's in us. It's sad. It reminded me a little bit, Bryce, if I can indulge you just a minute, about another 16-1 almost upset. Back when I was in 94, I was a student at Liberty University, and Liberty had never been to the NCAA Big Dance. Now they've come a couple times, and we were playing Carolina, my beloved Carolina Tar Heels. And I went to the game. It was in DC. It was one of the best sporting events that I've been to, because Liberty, with 10 minutes left to go in the game, was up. We had a great 3-point shooter, Matt Hildebrand. He nailed a three. We went up. I couldn't believe it. It was the first time I was really cheering against my beloved Tar Heels, but I was like, hey, if Carolina's going to go down, they're going to go down to Liberty. And I remember Dean Smith, the guy had got everybody into a huddle. Eric Montrose was, the monster of the year that year. And I remember Dean just kind of looking at him going, you're 7 feet tall. There's nobody that can take you down low in this game. And so eventually, from that timeout, kind of like what Hubert just did, from that timeout, Carolina just put them away. But if you let a little sin take root and get ahead, and if you're not careful, you forget that the power that's in you actually is a lot stronger than whatever sin that you're struggling with. But we just don't choose to remember that, and we can let it take us over.
That's a great story, great parallel, absolutely. And so Ephesians 4:27, this is the Amplified version, It says, and do not give the devil an opportunity to lead you into sin by holding a grudge or nurturing anger or harboring resentment or cultivating bitterness. And so we can't even give him an opportunity. And so that's why, to Brian's point, we have to put away sin in our life and remember that we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, and the fact that Jesus, he sacrificed his life on the cross on our behalf and saves those who put their trust in him from the penalty of sin, which is death. And he also put away the power of sin. So he put away the power of sin. Hebrews 9:26 tells us he came once for all at the end of the age to put away the power of sin forever by dying for us. And so sin does not have to win in our lives. But we have to realize that Jesus, what he did to put it away, tap into his power, rely on him, and live by the Holy Spirit. And we have to distance ourselves and put away sin. And so here are some verses that speak to, you know, different areas of sin. And so all of these are put away, right? So hear the word put away. This is James 1:21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. 1 Peter 2:1. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And then the last one, I think this is huge too, and I got to get Brian's thoughts on this as well. This is 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. And so all of these, you know, maybe a verse resonates with you more than another. But what are we allowing to hang around, and what do we truly need to put away, and not let it, you know, not let the enemy gain some confidence that he's going to take us down.
Well, I think it's a great question, Bryce. Like, what does it mean to put away? Like, is it just behavior modification? Is it just that I try harder? Is it just that I go, I know I should do better? Because I think that's a real struggle that we feel in the moment, like when we don't put away. Like, I was at a hotel not too long ago, and man, I haven't had this struggle in a while, but I was alone. I was flipping through channels, and you know that feeling. You start coming across a channel and it's like, I know I shouldn't linger here. And in that moment, I have an option. Do I put away the feelings that I'm having of wanting to linger to see something that I know is going to excite me, I know is going to lead me down a path I don't want to go? It's not like I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not stupid. I'm just stubborn. And the truth is like, the reason why we want to sin is because we love it, because we like it. It makes us feel good. Sin is pleasurable for a season. But then after that season's done, then we realize we've lost the game. And it's like, ah, man, why did I let that sin come in? And I know for me, I lingered. And rather than do the things that I need to do to put away. So Bryce, let's just talk about that. What for you, what does it look like in the moment of temptation? In the moment where the momentum's shifting back, what does it look like to put away? Because you can't just ignore it. You can't just, sometimes willpower is not going to help you. It didn't help me in that hotel room. My strength was failing. So what could I have done in that moment to put away? I mean, I've got some thoughts, but I'd love to hear you.
Well, for me, it is about taking drastic measures and being very, proactive and, I guess paralleling the, basketball too. It's like, all right, I got to call timeout and I got to have a strategy here and say, hey guys, wait, Bryce, wake up. Like you're in a bad situation. And so, part of it is get away from a bad situation. And then I think, like in the scenario that you're talking about, you got to put away the clicker. You got to put away your phone. You got to put away the temptation that you've allowed sort of to creep back in. But ultimately, like you're saying, you can go further into this. We can't do this in our own strength. And, yeah. and so we yeah, have to put, we have to put away our self-dependence, our self-reliance. We have to put that away too.
That's right. Yeah, because on my own, I like this verse you're talking about when Paul's talking about this to guys, you know, in the church. He's like, listen, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. He starts in the mind. And that's what I don't tend to do. I don't tend to put away the thought when it's running down the track of my mind. You know, it also talks, he also talks about capture every thought and make it captive to Christ, right? And so here's what I've learned in my life is that when I don't confess my thoughts and I just wait to confess my actions, I'm going to lose. Like if I don't call the timeout, like right when the thought is coming into my head, like when I was.
And just to. He's in Phoenix, you know, he's got crazy technology out there, right? Or internet, but he's living it up. He's at an Airbnb, Grand Canyon's right nearby, but he's saying some great stuff. And really it's the timeout. And I'm always baffled when I'm watching March Madness, when coaches don't call timeout and they let their players continue to turn the ball over, take bad shots, not hustle back on defense. And all of a sudden that 15 point lead, it's back to 8. And the coach didn't call the timeout and didn't nip it in the bud right away. After the first two turnovers, you call the timeout, right? And so to your point about the mentality and once those thoughts start to enter, it's calling the timeout right away.
Yeah. And James talks about, hey, confess your sins one to another, then you'll be healed. He doesn't say confess your sins to God. Too often what happens is I stay in the fight in my own strength by just trying to battle it in my own mind rather than calling a timeout and calling a friend. And saying, hey, I text a friend or I got a couple guys, I know you do too, where it's like, I am thinking this right now. I want to turn this channel right now. And when I get it into the light, like when I actually confess it out loud, there's something about confession that brings to healing. All confession is, I agree with God that this action is going to lead me to death. That's all that confession is. It's just saying, if I keep going down this path, I'm going to experience the very thing that I'm not made for and that I know that I don't love and I lose. And so for me, it's really been trying to confess earlier, to call the timeout quicker. And this is a guy coming from a Tar Heel fan who it's like Dean Smith and Roy Williams were stingy with their timeouts. They never called the timeout, you know, and they waited way too long.
Yeah,
and that's one of the big criticisms we have. And so for me, but what happens in that timeout? I confess it to God. I call a friend. I do something drastic. You know, I get up out of the bed. I get up and move to something else. I need to put away that idea of Paul is actually, it's actually taking off a cloak. It's really a clothing metaphor where he says, you actually take off the cloak that you're wearing and put it away. So it's like, whenever I'm starting to go down that road, I'm putting on these thoughts of anger, malice, lust, you know, bitterness towards my wife. He's saying you actually have to do something physical, put it off, take off that shirt that you're wearing. You have to repent. You have to do a 180. You have to move towards a different action.
That's excellent. I love that. And so encouraging. And the one other thing before we get out of here too, is going back to the parallel of, okay, you've got the lead, you're feeling good, right? You're up by 15 and you know, a team's doing great. They're confident. And they're like, this opponent's got nothing on us. Like we're good. We're fine. And I think, you know, I've followed Jesus a long time. There are certain areas where I have distanced myself from that sin. And I'm confident that, man, that's not gonna be an issue in my life anymore. But we have to be careful with that. There's something positive in that, sure. But the concern there is now all of a sudden if we become maybe self-righteous or we become a little cocky about it, and then all of a sudden you sort of, yeah, well, I'm good in that area. So I don't have to be as drastic and then all of a sudden we let it creep back in. And then all of a sudden, now we're down 10. So that's where we're careful too.
Let me just say this, friends. I know we got to wrap up, but you're preaching now. It's like that verse about, hey, do not think too highly of yourselves. Take heed lest you fall. And it's like, that's, you know, we never thought a 16 seed could beat a 1 seed until Virginia.
That's
until
right.
Until now Purdue. Now it's like, now they know it's possible. And I think that's the opportunity for the devil. He knows that when you start puffing up, like I didn't think that I would struggle again in a hotel room. It's like, man, I kind of put that away in my life. And the devil's just like, just wait for the right opportunity. When you're lonely, you're halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. And I was in one of those camps. And the enemy's like, I got an opportunity. and the 16th seed beat the one seed, you know? And I just, we don't want to see that happen. And the good news is that there's grace, right?
Amen.
I confessed it to a friend the next day. I didn't want to. I was like, man, I lingered on this site. I watched this show I shouldn't have watched. I didn't want to even say those words. I felt embarrassed. I felt shameful. But even in doing that, it gave, the shame went away. My buddy was like, listen, man, we know. And he helped lead me to healing. And it's like, we can get forgiveness. And it's like, all right, we can play a game again. You know, the good news is, yeah, we might have lost that game, but March Madness still goes on for us. You know, it's not like we're one and done. We're, you know, his mercies are renewed every morning. We're one loss, and then we start with a new win the next day.
That's great. I appreciate your honesty and transparency, and I know that the guys can resonate and relate to that, and I love taking those steps of confession and repentance, and that's huge. A couple of final thoughts too. Let's remember and acknowledge that Jesus defeated sin and death and the power of sin. And that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to battle against sin. And so we don't want to just, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to deal with that sin a little bit. No, we want to defeat it, crush it, yeah. continue to distance ourselves, not let it creep back in. And so we have to, again, do that by the reliance on the Holy Spirit and the grace and the love and the forgiveness of Jesus. Keep that at the forefront of our minds and hearts. And as we catch ourselves drifting and we're getting closer to that sin again, whoa, God, help me put this away. I don't want this back in. I don't want to give the devil a chance to get back in the game. I don't want to lose again. And so let's be careful of the being overly confident, which is really cockiness, getting lackadaisical where it's like, nah, it's not a big deal anymore. And we sort of downplay certain sins or certain things that lead to sin. And we can, you know, allow that to happen. Where we start, you know, making sloppy passes, right? Making sloppy passes. We can do that.
And it's like, I know when I'm in that moment too, right, Bryce, it's like, I start saying things in my head, like, I really shouldn't do this. I know this is wrong. I really don't want to go down this road. What pronoun am I using? It's I, it's me, it's I shouldn't. And I'm fighting in that moment in my own strength. How do I know that I'm fighting with the power of Christ? I'm bringing his name into the conversation. Jesus, help me in this moment. Jesus, I need you to have the ball right now. You know, and it's like just even saying the name of Jesus, actually, honestly, it sounds hokey, but there's power in it because you're bringing him into the fight.
I was listening to a classic worship song this morning about that. So, name of Jesus. So, it's true. That's where the power is. So, yeah, we got to claim him and acknowledge him and bring him in. Bring him in. He's right there with us anyway. But let's acknowledge. Say, all right, you got this. You got this. Get me out. Get me out. Help me put this away. And then again, just to hit it one more time, the put away childish things, and this is tough for guys. We hang on to too many childish things. And I'm guilty of this when it comes to jokes and you know guy talk and things that we think are funny, and it's like, I gotta put, that's childish stuff, man. I gotta put that stuff away because it starts to creep in and it can lead to other thoughts and other actions eventually. And so we gotta put away the childish things and become mature believers, mature followers of Jesus, and continue to strengthen our dependence on Him and distance ourselves and put away all those childish things and all these other things that we listed today that scripture provides, you know, wrath, anger, bitterness, slander, all those things, filthiness, rampant wickedness, hypocrisy, envy. Put all that away. Put it away and ask God for his strength to help us do so. All right, Brian, hey, this was awesome, man. So glad to have you on. Hopefully this isn't the last time, but really appreciate you joining us here today.
I know. I need to re-up in that 16 challenge that you got going on this week, because I wasn't able to get in to your bracket last week, but I'm glad there's another opportunity.
Second chance.
Second chance. Love that.
We serve a God of second chances, and our bracket challenges provides second chances as well. So
that's right.
Enjoy your spring break, and thanks for this is your final responsibility. Now go enjoy
having
fun with the family.
Hey, it was an honor, Bryce. Thanks so much, man. Love what you're doing, and just really believe in your mission, bro.
Thanks, Brian. All right, man. Well, there's Brian Goins. Check out his book, Plain Hurt. So go look for that in Amazon, and then also check out The Art of Marriage through Family Life. And so you can check out familylife.com. That's a new series out. And so he does podcasts as well and with his wife. And so definitely check his stuff out. Brian's the man. So thankful for him and his friendship and willingness to join us here on the Unpacking It podcast today. Thank you for listening. I'm Bryce. I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected. And through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well. And I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans who follow Jesus together. Have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.